Now, on the line, I have Dr. Nikki Dunn, and she's from Carers Ireland, and she's the author of a new report called Paying the Price: The Physical, Mental and Psychological Impact of Caring. Good morning, Dr. Dunn. How are you?
Good morning, Michael. Thank you very much for having me on this morning. I'm very well, thank you.
Absolutely delighted. I have to say I'm really, really interested in this report. Maybe you could just run through some of the highlights.
Yeah, so this is a study that a repeat of a study that we did 10 years ago in collaboration with the College of Psychiatrists. So this year, it's Family Carers Ireland, the College of Psychiatrists of Ireland, and UCD School of Nursing. So the study was completed by 1,102 family carers. And what we wanted to see was, have things actually improved for carers in the 10 years since we last conducted this similar study? Now, we knew on the ground that things haven't really changed. So a lot of the results are not that shocking to us, but they are shocking results. So if you look at respite, for example, 71% of carers had no access to respite. And this is despite the fact that the majority, or 2 out of 3, are caring for over 100 hours a week. So that's one of the key findings. 71% are caring with no respite. And in 2009, that was actually 43% who had no access to respite. So it's gotten significantly worse over those 10 years. 48% of carers that they were diagnosed with mental ill health. That's nearly half of the people that were surveyed that were suffering with depression or anxiety. 2 in 3 people were diagnosed with depression. And I'm going to emphasize that if diagnosed with depression, now, as we know, a lot of people are often suffering with depression but go undiagnosed. So that may actually, that figure may be a lot worse. But in our survey, it's 1 in 3 that were diagnosed with depression. A lot of people, 67% were diagnosed with physical ill health. So that's 2/3 of people suffering with physical ill health, often with back pain and back injuries was quite a significant one in terms of the physical ill health. So one of the main things is that the survey has shown, though, is things have gotten worse for family carers over the last 10 years, and they have not got better. They've got worse in terms of their health, in terms of support, and carers are more worried than they were 10 years ago as well.
And the thing,
that's just a summary.
Yeah, and one of the things we have to remember as well here is that carers save the state some $10 billion a year. That would be the cost if the state had to look after all the people that carers, family carers, are looking after. And it's something that it strikes a note with me because, as I mentioned to you before we came on air, both my grandmother and my mother suffered from dementia. Mm-hmm. And when I see that carers are providing up to 100 hours a week of caring, some, you know, 2 out of 3 carers are doing this. If you take the normal job is 40 hours, so you're actually doing 2.5 jobs caring for someone, and caring for someone is such a stressful job because it's someone you love. Someone, you know, if it's a husband looking after a wife or a wife looking after a husband, it's someone that you have been with all your life and they've suddenly gone down. So it's a big, big weight on your shoulders. And it nearly brings tears to my eyes how badly we, and I say we as a country, look after our family carers. So I'm getting a bit emotional, sorry about that, but I just feel I just think it's one of those things that we should be doing more to help people. And I think anybody who has had it in their life will understand that as well.
Yeah.
But yeah. It's great to see that we are that surveys like this coming out, because it makes it real for people, because people sometimes you hear of family carers and you see them every day. I'm sure everybody that's listening knows somebody who's a carer, or maybe doing caring for someone themselves, and they see it just as every day. But when we get a report like this, it suddenly becomes real.
And I think this is the thing, Michael, like you said, there's the carers, family carers are saving the state €10 billion each year. There's currently 355,000 family carers in Ireland, and that's one in every 10 adults. So yes, you're right, many of us either are carers or know people that are carers, or perhaps will become family carers in the future as well. And quite often, carers are doing this work out of love and dedication, and you know, they should be supported. They're propping up the health system through their dedication, and they're often expected to fill the gaps and resources in the system, regardless of the personal costs to them. So this survey shows the health costs, the social costs, the financial costs. And, you know, we shouldn't be expecting carers to shoulder this responsibility alone. It should be shared between the state and families and wider communities. You know, carers shouldn't be shouldering this responsibility alone. It is having a massive impact on their physical, mental and psychological health.
And of course, the thing that to mention as well, carers are saving us €10 billion a year. But if we don't support them, they themselves are going to start to need care because of depression, you know, whether it be back injuries or other type of injuries that they're going to have, physical injuries, it's going to start to cost us money to look after them. So, you know, by putting some money back into family carers, we're actually going to save ourselves more money.
Yeah, that's the thing. And going back to that point that I guess that you're saying about the average working week is maybe 40 hours, and what this survey shows is 2 in 3 carers are caring for over 100 hours a week. 82% are actually caring for over 50 hours a week, which is the vast majority of the sample. Now, we know the impact of care on a carer's mental and physical health is often it's often worsened by carers going without appropriate breaks. But the report shows that over 71% are going without respite. So it's important for carers to actually get these breaks. And like you're saying, we need to be putting money into services and supports for carers. And one of our recommendations actually calls for an additional €3.2 million of funding per year to ensure that family carers are guaranteed access to supports and services.
Did you just say 3.2 million?
Yes, I did, yeah.
Well, if you're saving 10 billion,
yes,
3.2 million is such a tiny, tiny percentage of that. So we're only talking about putting back in a tiny percentage of what you're actually saving the state. And it'll make such a difference.
Yes, just, and it will make a massive difference. And one of our recommendations is about tackling and confronting the postcode lottery in the state. So inconsistent funding across the country is actually meaning that access to essential support such as respite, counselling and training is often subject to a postcode lottery. So this 3.2 million would actually ensure that family carers are guaranteed that access to supports and services regardless of where they live. So it's not only that they have access to it, but it's not determined by where a person lives, but rather based on their needs as well.
Maybe you just run through some of the recommendations that are in the report.
Yeah, sure. So with the findings in mind that family carers are worse off than they were 10 years ago, that they're suffering with their mental, physical and psychological health, we've made 7 evidence-based recommendations that are designed to develop and strengthen the ways in which carers can be supported to be healthy. So our recommendations are all about how can we support carers to be healthy. And that's that's the crux of these recommendations. So the first one is that we are calling for a minimum entitlement to 20 days guaranteed respite each year. And we want that to be enshrined in the Department of Health's plan for establishing the statutory home care scheme. So we're asking for a guaranteed respite, 20 days of that to be guaranteed every year. And that will ensure that carers are able to access appropriate and regular breaks. And as we know, that regular breaks and consistent breaks is essential to carers' health and well-being. We're also calling for the postcode lottery to be tackled and confronted. So I just spoke about that. We're saying we're calling for 3.2 million of additional funding per year to ensure that carers have access to appropriate services and supports based on their need, regardless of where they live. We are also calling for financial security for carers. So the report shows that 3/4 of carers in the study were worried about how they would cope financially, both in the short and the long term. And many felt that the bar to qualifying for financial support is currently set far too high. So we heard in the survey from carers who said that whilst they might appear financially comfortable on paper, they're struggling to make ends meet when normal living and caring expenses are accounted for. So they might be having to purchase medication or buy might have to fund equipment themselves as well. So we're calling for an urgent reform of the carers allowance means test to ensure that it's more accessible to full-time family carers who are currently exceeding the income thresholds despite living on relatively modest salaries. So our fourth recommendation then asks that is calling for family carers to be identified as carers. So often carers don't identify themselves as carers. They're caring for family members. They see it as just something that you do. But by not self-identifying as family carers, they're missing out on help, advice and support. And this can have serious financial and personal implications. So we're calling for the establishment of a voluntary carers register, whereby health professionals like GPs, public health nurses place carers on a register, and that will help prevent them from missing out on important advice and information and supports at an early stage of their caring journey, rather than being rather than them getting to crisis point and only accessing this information and services and supports when they're at crisis stage. The fifth recommendation asks for. Is about ensuring that carers get the support that they require. So it's about not only identifying carers, it's about identifying their needs. So the report shows that carers say they need more respite, more home help and counselling. And we're calling for the establishment of a carers needs assessment to help identify what carers' needs are and to currently the HSE have actually developed a carer's needs assessment as part of the single assessment tool, but we're recommending that this be rolled out nationally and be made available to all full-time family carers. Our sixth recommendation is about providing psychological supports for carers. So we're asking for carers to have access to counselling. And so one in three carers said that psychological counselling would help improve their health. So we're calling for when carers are identified as needing this form of support, that they're able to access it regardless of their means. And we're also calling them finally for the GP visit card scheme to be extended to include all carers in receipt of the carer support grant. So that's the seven recommendations. I'm after going through them quite quickly. But central to them all is the idea of sharing the care between the state and families. So going back to that point that I said that family carers shouldn't have to shoulder the burden and responsibility of caring for their loved ones alone and without the proper supports. These recommendations, if they're they will make a difference. And if they're implemented well, there's the potential to save a great deal of pain and cost.
Now, I know that this report is only one in a series that you will be producing, but I'm just looking at the recommendations here, the 7 recommendations, and I don't see anything in them that would, you know, that is kind of a little bit off the charts or anything like that. They're all very sensible, very steady. I would call it steady and natural things.
They're
modest
and proportionate, yes.
Very, very much so. And badly needed. And I think anybody who has been involved or has had any contact with someone who's a carer or is caring for people would say, yeah, these all things should be there, particularly the respite. I really can't understand why respite is not provided, just straight off, you know, that you should be entitled to it. And that's maybe what it is. We need to have these entitlements enshrined in law.
Yes, yeah, and that, like, one of the things that in the comments that many of the family carers left in this survey, so there's a qualitative component in the sense that people were able to write in comments to further explain some of their answers to questions in the survey. And some of the words that came up were battle, fight, challenge, constant fight. They were just, there's a sense of a constant struggle for respite, for support. So yes, you're right, if some of these things like respite, access to respite, access to GPs are actually enshrined in policy and law, you're right, yeah, these would help support carers to be healthy and to continue doing the work that they want to do. People want to be able to care for their loved ones safely. They want to care for their loved ones, but they can't do it alone. It has to be a shared responsibility.
Now, Dr. Dunn, I know you're busy and I'm not going to delay you much longer, but I'll just ask you, if one of our listeners wants to get some more information on this report or indeed on family carers, how can they get that?
If they go onto the family carers website, so familycarers.ie, and there'll be a link to the report on the website there. You'll be able to access it that way.
Dr. Dunn, thank you very much for chatting with us this morning.
You're welcome, Michael. It's very nice to talk to you as well.
And you too. All the best now. Bye-bye.
All the best. Take care. Bye-bye.